Luke has been teaching us about being disciples of Jesus. Do you know what a disciple of Jesus is? Many people are thinking that Christianity, well, it's a ticket to heaven. I get my ticket and then I'm safe. Then I just relax. But Jesus taught nothing of that kind. Jesus wanted only disciples, students, followers, those to learn from him, to obey, to do what he was doing. Christianity is a life to live on God's earth, a life to live in God's world today. There's a religious man in this passage, in these words, but he wasn't a disciple. It seems he wasn't ready to be a disciple. And yet, in this story, Jesus taught us that all kinds of people can learn to be disciples. Those who are far, far away can learn to be students of Jesus. And what about you? Do you know what it is to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus? Well, we look at it in two parts because the man in this story, he asked two questions. The first of them is in verse 25. And he needed to learn he'd fallen short. Have you learned that you've fallen short of God's standard? You've fallen short of God's mark. And this man came, verse 25. It says he was an expert in the law. It means the law of Moses, the law that God had given through Moses, the law of God. So we're not talking about the laws of what we have today, Parliament. We're not talking about those who go into the courts. They have the court cases, the lawyers in that way. But he's a teacher. He's a man who studies God's laws and tries to teach them to the people in Israel. The law of God. And it says, verse 25, he came to test Jesus. Now most of these lawyers, most of them were Pharisees, and most of them, they didn't follow Jesus. They didn't teach the same things as Jesus. And many of them came to try to trip Jesus up and to put something in his way to make him stumble. Ask him a hard question and then show him he's wrong. Ask him about some difficult matter, something all the people would talk about, and try and trap him or even try and make him unpopular, make him say something people didn't want to hear. But there were times when people came to test Jesus because they were seeking. They wanted to find out what he really said. They were thinking about him. They were thinking about what he was teaching and whether they should listen more. We don't know exactly what the lawyer was thinking. Why do you ask questions about God? Why do you come to hear about Jesus? What do you want? What do you want God to say to you? What is your heart saying today? What are you seeking? Why are you here? Well, he asked a question in verse 25. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? How can I have the life that comes from God? What do I need to do to get that life? Well, there's a very great question. Are you asking that question? Are you asking those kind of questions? How can I be saved? How can you be right with God? How can you know God as your friend? How can you be part of the new world that Jesus will make one day? How can you live in his kingdom today? Are you asking those kind of questions? How would you answer? What would you say? You see, Jesus, he didn't answer himself straight away. But he said to him, verse 26, well, what is written in the law? What have you read there? How do you see it? This man was a teacher of the law. He came to Jesus testing him. Jesus was no fool. Jesus was wise, and he So throws the question back to him. Let's see what this man is really seeking. What is he really wanting? Why is he really asking the question? What does he already know about these things? How would you answer again if God asked you and said, what have you learnt? What does the Bible say? What's the way of eternal life? What's the way to know God? The lawyer then gave his answer. And he went to two very famous places in the Old Testament, two very famous places in the law of Moses. One is from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And even today, the Jews repeat these words, even morning and evening. If you go and find synagogues or you come into the house of a Jew, you'll hear these words being said, just as they're said amongst the Christians. Verse 27, the lawyer answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all of your mind. Now that's what is put first. To love God with all that you are. To love God with every part of your being. To know that He is God. He's your God. He made you. He's kept you. He'll judge you. The Lord your God. Everything you have, every good thing is from Him. And He owns you. And you ought to love Him. You ought to love Him because He's worthy of your love. He's pure. He's good. He's true. He's faithful. He's loving and He's kind. He's just and He's merciful. Every good thing is found fully in God. You ought to love Him with all that you are. So you know what sin is, first of all? It's not a list of rules. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do that. First of all, sin is that God does not own your heart. That you've given your heart to something or someone else. That other things come before God. Though God is so glorious, He made this world and He made you and He owns you. Yet you've given your heart to other things. And often you've said no to God. And often you've followed selfish things. And you've forgotten about God. When He ought to have all that you have. That comes first. Then next, the lawyer, he went to the book of Leviticus. A third book in the Bible, chapter 19, verse 18. And there it says, you shall love your neighbor in the same way that you love yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Doesn't say, treat others the way they treat you. Doesn't even say, treat them better than they treat you. But it says, love them as yourself. Do you like being lied to? Well, then don't lie to other people. Do you like people saying to you, oh, just lend me something, when really they're going to keep it, they're not going to give it back at all? Do you like people doing that to you? Well, don't do it to other people. Do you like to be in need and everybody walks by and nobody stops to lift you up again? Well, don't do that to other people. Where's the standard? Love them as you love yourself. What you would like all your neighbors to do, that you do. Don't say, oh, I'm just treating them the same way they treat me. Or don't say, oh, this is what happens in our culture. But love them the same way you love yourself. You look after yourself, you protect yourself. When you fall down, you try to lift yourself up. You always try to do the best for yourself. Well, God says, we're all one family, we're all the children of Adam. We're all brothers and sisters, we all have one blood in the end. Love your neighbor the same way you've loved yourself. God's law is actually at heart a law of love. Yes, there There are things we must do. There are things we mustn't do. Rules must come. Have to put up those markers so that we understand where love is and where we've gone too far and where we need to go. But it's the law of love, so it gives us no excuses. Nobody should say, oh, rules, rules, too hard for me. But at heart, it's a law of love. What's sin? Sin in the end is a lack of love. You haven't loved your classmate. You've hurt him, you've bullied him, you've fought with him, you've dragged him down, you've gossiped about her. What is sin? It's a lack of love that you forgot God and you put him to one side when he should have all of your heart. Are you a sinner? Of course you are. Who's done these things? Who can stand up and say, then I've kept the law of God. I don't need a savior. Jesus didn't have to die for me. Who can say that? Well, the lawyer knew the truth. He said, here's the law of God. Here's the things we have to do. And Jesus again replied to him in verse 28. He said, it's correct. That's the answer. Do that to live. Jesus said that. Then he says no more. He waits. He waits to see what the lawyer will think. What do you think? What's the lawyer going to say? Is the lawyer going to say, then I'm ruined. If that's the law of God, then I'm wretched and I'm lost. I followed the way of the devil. I've rebelled against God. Jesus, what can I do now? Because my heart is wrong, Jesus. Where can I get a new heart? Where can I be changed? I'm lost. Who can find me? How can I be saved? Jesus waits for the lawyer to say what he ought to say. How about you again? Will you just say, well, I'm the same as everybody else, so I'm okay? Or will you say, well, I'm lost. I need to change. I need to be changed. I need Jesus to give me a new heart. Because if that's the law of God, then I am condemned. If that's the law of God, then I'm going to be judged and sent away to hell on the last day. Because I'm so far behind that. Jesus waits. What will you say? Do you know you've fallen short? Well, the other question comes in verses 29 up to the end. Do you know what love really is? Well, that seemed to be the lawyer's problem. It says in verse 29, the man wanted to justify himself. He wanted to show that he's not so bad, really. And so he asks another question. He says, well, who is my neighbor? He doesn't talk about that question about loving God. It's hard to see if a man loves God. You can only look at the things he does. You can only look at how he lives and works amongst his family and his other people. So he asks a question about his neighbor. Who is my neighbor? Now, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, normally they just kept to their own people, those like them. And especially, they only kept to the Jews. Those outside were unclean. Dogs, pigs, ready for the judgment of God. Pharisees tend to keep to themselves, those who are very strict about the law. Or the law the way they taught it, the law the way they followed it. Only those who followed all the same rules that they had put together with the law. The others, they considered unclean. And you know, when Jesus came, they said, why are you with these tax collectors, these sinners? Why are you with the prostitutes? Why are you eating and drinking with these people who don't know the law? Why are you with these people who don't follow our ways? So they accused Jesus of being an unclean person. And they challenged him to justify what he was doing. But actually, Jesus, he knew more of the law than they did. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 34 said, you will treat the stranger, you'll treat the foreigner, and you'll treat the one born in the land in the same way that your fellow Jews and those who are outsiders, you will love them both the same. The law said that all men are your neighbors, that all the children of Adam are your brothers and your sisters. Jesus came to save sinners. He came to bring them out of a life of sin. He went to those who were far from God to bring them back. But the Pharisees were doing something different. They rejected those who were not like them. And so the man is challenging Jesus. Jesus, who really is our neighbor? Why do you treat these nobodies and these unclean people as your neighbor? Why do you do that? Shouldn't we be pure? Shouldn't we separate ourselves and forget them? They're going into hell, just let them go there. Why do you do what you do, Jesus? And again, Jesus doesn't answer directly. He doesn't say, well, let's open the books of Moses. Have you read them? Haven't you seen what it says? That we're to go and rescue those in need? No, he doesn't do that, but he tells a story. He wants to really show this teacher by putting it in this way. I'm sure you know the story. There was a man going from Jerusalem to Jericho. Those towns were not too far, something like 10 miles, 15. There were a lot of... It was a very big town in Jericho, and people went back and forth. He went down from Jerusalem to Jericho on a journey. But, as in many places in the world, there's robbers. He was attacked by these bandits. They stole what he had. They beat him. They even took his clothes. They left him with nothing. They left him ready to die. They beat him so severely he couldn't even get up. He couldn't carry on his journey. Just left there in his blood and in his pain to die. Now Jericho was a town with many priests living there. When they came to serve in the temple, they'd come up from Jericho, and when they finished their time of duty, they go back down again. And it happened that one of these priests came along. Priests, of course, were very concerned about the law. They had the job to teach the law and to carry out all the rules of the temple, all the sacrifices, all the offerings, all the rituals for being clean and many things of that kind. The priest came. He saw this man. And he asked himself, is this man my neighbor? He looks at him. No, he's not my neighbor. I've got all my work in the temple. I've got the work in teaching. I've got my family now at home that I'm going to. I don't know this man. I don't know whether he's a lawkeeper. I don't know if he's clean. I don't know if he's unclean. I don't know if he's serious about God. I don't know if he's far away. So I don't know if he's my neighbor. And the priest walked by. Then a Levite came. Levites also were teachers of the law. They also had duties for the worship of God. There's a Levite, verse 32, he came to the place and saw him. He had a look. Do I know that man? Is he one of my neighbors? Is he a fellow Jew? Is he one of my clan? Is he one of my tribe? Is he one of those who's serious about the law of God? No, I don't know. I've got things I'm doing on this journey. He's not my neighbor. And so he walked by. They kept themselves pure. They didn't risk becoming defiled or unclean with this man. But a Samaritan came. The Bible tells us, John chapter 4, the Jews did not deal with the Samaritans. The Samaritans were a corrupt people. They certainly had changed God's law. They did not follow what was written there. But they changed, they added, they took away, Their ancestors worshipped the true gods, but also other idols. They made sacrifices to the Lord and also to the pagan false gods of the other nations. They were a compromised and corrupt people. And the Jews did not deal with them. They despised them. The Samaritan, well, I don't know why he's traveling between Jerusalem and Jericho, but he'll know that he'll be meeting so many other Jews who despise him on this road, maybe wanting to do his journey as quickly as possible, get out of their way. But he sees the man. He had pity on him. Verse 33, he had compassion on him. He thought, I travel along this road. I'm in danger from robbers. And that could be me. Different time, different situation in life. That could be me. That's my neighbor. He needs my help. He took pity on him. Verse 34. And now we read all the ways in which he showed that pity. Some people, their pity is only words. Oh, I'd love to help them. I'm busy. Oh, I wish I could somehow do something for them. Ah, but my situation, my finances, my timetable, all the my things I'm committed in. No, I wish I could. It's not really pity. That's not really compassion. But true compassion moves and it acts and it gives. We read all the ways he did. He bandaged his wounds. I don't know if you travel with a first aid kit. You got bandages. Probably he had to tear a part of his clothes to bandage up the man's wounds and then travel with torn clothes. Now he didn't have medicines, I suppose, but he did have oil and wine with him, which they used for many purposes. They did use them as medicines. The oil would clean the wound, get the dirt out of it. You know, the wine acts as an antiseptic. It stops it from becoming corrupt. Those were expensive things. They can be expensive today, especially expensive in those days. But he didn't say, oh, let me keep these. I may need them. But he poured them in. Now, he didn't say, now, here's my timetable. But he got off his animal. He put the man there and then he walked him. And he took him all the way to the inn. There it says he took care of him. For how long? We don't know. Well, until the next day. Don't know what time in the day it was when he started. But the next day, he said to the innkeeper, now, carry on looking after him. Give him all he needs. If he needs more medicine, get it for him. If you need to call a doctor, then bring him in. Where he needs food and he needs drink to get his strength again, give it to him. As long as he needs to rest until he's healthy, let him stay here. And here's 2 silver coins. It says a denarius, that was what they called their coins. That was a working man's wage for a day. It would have looked after the man for longer than that, but 2 days of wages. And then he said, now don't worry if the money runs out, because when I come again, I'll bring more with me. So don't let the man suffer. But if he needs more after this, put it on my account. I'll come back and I'll pay him. He gave and he gave and he gave. He didn't put a limit on it. He didn't say, I've done enough for my neighbor now. But he said, whatever it takes to lift him up again, I'll pay. Now that's loving your neighbor. How is it with you? You say, well, I've done enough now. You say, I've done as much as the others have. But when you see your neighbor has fallen down, you give to lift him up. Now, I'm not talking about foolish people who drink all their money and throw away everything they have, and then they come and say, give me something, give me something. We're talking about the neighbor who's fallen just as you could have fallen. Neighbor who's come into hard times and difficult problems. He's fallen like this man who fell among the robbers. You put a limit and say, now, go and make your own way now. Didn't pass by. He gave and he gave. Well, there's the story. And Jesus said to the lawyer, he said, now who here was a neighbor? Who was a neighbor to the man who is in need? The lawyer couldn't deny. Couldn't make himself say, oh, Samaritan. They hated that word. Samaritans, dogs, pigs. He said, the one who had mercy on him. Couldn't deny. You see, the question Jesus asked was a little bit different. It's a little bit different to what the lawyer had asked. The lawyer wanted to know, who is my neighbor? The lawyer was saying, where can I draw a line and say, this man is my neighbor, and that one, I can leave him. Where do I draw the line? Who is my neighbor? Like the priest and the Levite in the story, they drew their lines. And lots of religious people do that. They're very strict about coming to church. They say their prayers every day. But really, they're just thinking, where can I draw the lines? Where have I done enough? How can I prove that I'm right and I'm good enough? That's not the way of Jesus' kingdom. That's not the way of Jesus. Jesus said, or he asks, now who behaved as a neighbor? Who became like a neighbor? Because the way of Jesus' kingdom is that way. That you say, how can I become a neighbor to the person who's in need? What do I need to do to be like a neighbor? And even a Samaritan can do that. In the eyes of all the rules of the temple and sacrifice and worship, the Samaritan was an unclean man. But Jesus was now inviting people like that into his kingdom. However far you are from God, however unclean you are before God, Jesus is now inviting you into his kingdom. He says, here's the way of my kingdom. You give yourself and you give yourself. And you go out to make people to become your neighbors. Through acts of love, you turn your enemy into your friend. Imagine how different life might be if people did that. They hadn't said a few years ago, he's not my tribe, he's my enemy. I'm going to oppose him, I'm going to fight him. If instead you said, I know we're born in different clans, but I'm going to love him and make him my neighbor. I'm going to cross the bridge and bring him to where we are. I'm going to go out and seek those who are far from me, and I'm going to pay the price to bring us together. Now, Jesus, he's the one who's done that for us. The Pharisees insulted him. They said, you're unclean. They said, you've got a devil. They said, you're a Samaritan. They called him those names. But Jesus didn't give up. He didn't pass by on the other side. See, this man on the road, he's a picture of us in our sin. Helpless. Defeated. We can't reach the destination. We've fallen far short of the mark. We're unclean. Through sin, we've been robbed of our way to God, our ability to reach God. We're helpless, we're bleeding, we're dying, we're going to eternal judgment. We're going to the flames of God's anger. And the way of the Pharisees, the self-righteous, won't help. All the rituals and ceremonies, all that the priests and Levites did, can't bring you back to God. Becoming self-righteous and religious can't get you back to God. But Jesus didn't pass by. He came into this world. He paid the price. He gave himself. He gave everything that he had. He gave his body and soul on the cross. He bled and he died to pay the price. And he didn't stop. He wouldn't put an end to his sufferings until he'd paid everything. The darkness and blackness of the cross, the awfulness of God's anger fell upon him. He died and he went to the grave, and there he remained under judgment for the sins of his people. He wouldn't stop until he paid the whole price. When he paid the whole price, God raised him up from the dead again. Jesus didn't say, well, these aren't my neighbors, they're sinners. He didn't say, you, you've broken the laws of God, so what have I got to do with you? I'm pure and I'm holy. Now, he paid the price on the cross to make you become his neighbor. You can be his neighbor, his friend. You can be his brother, his sister. He can be your savior. He can be your Lord and your God. Jesus doesn't turn anybody away. Hallelujah. Jesus welcomes. He cleanses. He pours in the oil and the wine. He sends his Spirit to make us new people. His blood washes us from all our sin. And he restores us and he makes us whole. He makes us healthy again, spiritually, to serve him, to love him, and to know him. And he says, I'm coming back one day. I'm coming back. So the lawyer's being asked, do you know what love really is? Command is love your neighbor. But do you know what that means? It means you need to pay the price to make them your neighbor. So Jesus says, that's why I'm with the tax collectors and sinners. That's why I'm with these people who are far from God, because I'm paying the price to bring them back. So Jesus said to the lawyer, why don't you stop being the way you are, proud, self-righteous, thinking only of yourself, thinking that you've passed the exam of God's law, thinking that you're good enough for God? Why don't you stop being like that? Why don't you go and be like me? Why don't you go and be like that Samaritan? Why don't you learn the real way of love? Why don't you enter my kingdom? Why don't you let me save you and then change you?